My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of The Mark Moss Show. And each week I am talking to you about the decentralized revolution, talking about the way the world is changing right before our very eyes, which of course, unless you're blind or not paying attention, you see it's happening. But I want to help bring context to that as you look at the world through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And I got to take a deep breath because what I'm about to go over with you today, it highlights what I'm talking about the decentralized revolution. And in my opinion, it highlights peak centralization, and it highlights peak stupidity. Now, I pause to say that because things can always get worse. I hate to say peak because, unfortunately, in my three cycles thesis, I believe things continue to get worse for the next couple of years, and then they start getting better. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I believe there's massive hope and prosperity for us in the future. But unfortunately, unless you're one of the few people who actually thinks the direction of the world is going right now is good, if you're not one of those people, then I would hate to tell you that it's probably going to continue to get worse, and then it's going to get better. So it is hope. It is prosperity. Now, if you're not caught up on my three cycles thesis, that's okay. You can go to YouTube and just search Mark Moss Cycles. Go to my Mark Moss YouTube channel and just look at a playlist that I have where I've discussed it at length, and you can get caught up on that. But I have some stories that I've been reading this week that really been bothering me, to be honest with you. And when I was reading them in the office, I was kind of starting to chuckle a little bit. And some people in the office are like, what are you reading, you know? And what I read to them was so bad, but also so idiotic that it just like made me laugh. Now, it should make me mad and scared, but because of the idiocracy about it also made me laugh. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're gonna talk about this, the Fed, the Federal Reserve, the central banks trying to chase their tail on inflation, which is completely crazy. I wanna talk about the policy that the European Union just put into place this week in regards to their own energy policy that had me literally laughing out loud. I have some clips that I'm going to play for you because I can't say this stuff because you'll think I'm crazy. So I'm going to play you the clip so you can hear it from your own self of some of the political leaders in the United States. I want you to hear what they're having to say directly out of their own mouth. I want to talk about this this article that I went on Fox Business recently. Shout out to Fox Business and Charles Payne. And he asked me about this article. And I don't think I've talked about it here on the radio with you guys. And you won't believe what the article says. We're going to talk about these President Biden, the Biden administration put together some executive orders this week. And this is all related. This is all related. Okay. So let's dig into it. Let's take a look at this. So first off, central banks. They control the money. The Federal Reserve is the central bank of the United States. They're the most powerful central bank because the dollar is the reserve currency of the world. They supposedly are trying to control the markets, but if anybody thinks they can control the markets, I also have a bridge to sell them. They were trying to get this 2% inflation, and they end up at 9. Now they're trying to get it down, and they're crashing the entire economy. And so really, they're upside down. They are behind the eight ball, if you will. And the reality of them doing anything about this is very, very low, the chance of them. And it says the last time the U.S. suffered a nasty bout of inflation was in the 80s. Now, that's true, but it's also false. So using the CPI metric, which is what the government puts out, the government metric, I call it CPI. Per the CPI, inflation hasn't been this bad since the 80s. The problem is it's a lie. The problem is they changed the way they calculate inflation over and over and over. And if we go back to the way they calculated in the 80s, we're really over 20%. So first of all, that's a little bit of a lie. But back then, what they're talking about is that back then, the head of the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker, had to jack up rates by as much as 3 percentage points. And Volcker actually said, back then he said, quote, unless we respond to the increase, which could be quite large in this period, we're going to have a real credibility problem. So what does he mean by that? That was in 1980. Paul Volcker said that. So unless we respond to the increase of what? The increase of inflation. Prices were out of control. Now, there's a lot of reasons why prices were out of control. Mainly because in 1971, we had gotten off the gold standard and they started printing an unlimited amount of money. If you want to see what I'm talking about, it's very simple. Anyone, any elementary kid could see this. Just pull up a price chart of gold, historical price chart of gold. And what you'll notice for over 100 years, 200 years, gold was $20 an ounce because gold was money. Then 1933, the government seized everybody's gold and gave them the $20 for it, and then instantly revalued it to $35 an ounce. So then you can see a chart, $20, $20, $20, $20, and then all of a sudden bumped up, and it's $35 an ounce. But in 1971, when we severed the ties of the gold standard, what happened to the price of gold? Well, it shot through the roof. As a matter of fact, it continued on ever since then, and I didn't pull this up in advance, but I'm going to pull it up for you right now because it's got me thinking about it. So if I look at the gold prices historical, let's look at 100 years. If my internet works with me, here we go. I got to take off the adjusted for inflation bit. So here we go. So we can see 2020, all the way here we go to 1933, as I said. Then it bumps up to $35 an ounce, which is where it stayed all the way until August of 1970. And then it started to jump higher. And within, let's say, 4 years, it jumped from 35 to 150. So that's what happened with the money. So why did prices get so high? Well, because they printed so much currency. Come on. So Paul Volcker had to deal with that. As a matter of fact, by the time he had to deal with it, back to this proverbial, or not proverbial, but we're talking about this 1980, that's where gold reached its local high of $593 per ounce. That was the inflation, or I'm sorry, 627. I had to zoom in a little bit here. Let me try and blow this up a little bit so I can see a better number. Okay, here we go. $677. Not adjusted for inflation in nominal terms. So 677. So it went from 35 to 677 in 10 years, in a decade. That's the inflation that he was trying to fight. Now, he was able to bring inflation down. And so by April of 2001, gold had fallen all the way down to about 260. So it went from 35 to almost 700, and then he was able to bring the price of gold back down, bring inflation back down to about 270. Now, how did he do it? By wrecking the economy. If you're alive in the 70s, you remember times of gas shortages and things like that. So there was no money. There was no energy. And so here we are. The feds are faced with something similar. We have a four-decade high, 9.1% interest. And they're trying to pretend like they're Volcker, but they're not. Where Paul Volcker was raising rates by 2-3 points at a time, they're raising rates with 0.5%. Now, maybe we'll do 0.75%. How's that, right? Now, if they were to go through with this, now potentially next week they could come out with another rate hike. Maybe it's a full point. Maybe they're going to go for a full point. A lot of people think they will. Maybe it's 1 point. Maybe it's 0.75. But if and if they did, that would bring the federal funds rate, their interest rate, to between somewhere between 2.25 to 2.5%, which would be at least 6 percentage points below what inflation is right now. So nowhere near what Paul Volcker did back then. So we're as close to his inflation, an emergency of inflation, as any time we've been in the past 40 years at least. And we're also seeing the biggest difference between the inflation number and the federal funds rate than we have in any point in history. So it's a pretty big deal. Now, the Fed doesn't really have any tools to fix this except for to wreck the economy. And don't worry, they're trying really hard. I'm going to be back with that and more in a minute. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm going to tell you how they're wrecking the economy in a second, so don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better. Over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, the way the world is changing before our very eyes, and we're seeing the end of centralization, and the world is moving into a period of decentralization. Of course, we're talking about through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And the technology is Bitcoin that is decentralizing the world. Now, before the break, I was talking about what the Fed is doing and how the Fed is completely stuck. They're upside down on inflation. They're pretending to be Paul Volcker and have this crazy 80s moment, but they're not. And they're not getting anywhere near with it. But the only option they have, raising rates isn't going to help them. Raising rates isn't going to fight inflation. Now, there's multiple types of inflation. It's stupid to even call it inflation. Prices go up. There's lots of prices. Which prices am I talking about? Well, there's trillions of prices. Why would they go up? Well, there's trillions of reasons. Lots of reasons. So to try to quantify it with a single number is a little bit ridiculous. But ridiculous is what government policy advisors do. So what they can do is typically, you know, they could bring more supply into the market, which would bring the price down, or they could lower demand. And of course, the Fed can't bring new supply, so they try to lower demand. Now, that would also involve wrecking the economy. When they lower demand, that means people don't have the money to buy those things. Now, if they don't have the money to buy those things, that means they don't shop at your business. And if they don't shop at your business, that means you don't sell your products and goods, which means your suppliers don't get business, nor do you have money to go spend anywhere else. Yeah, that works. It's interesting. Seems like the wrong target, in my opinion. But never mind that. Thank your fearless leaders. Now, I want to dig into a couple things I saw this week that really had me chuckling. I should be crying, but maybe I'm doing both. So let's talk about a couple of these. How are we going to destroy demand? Well, let's see. The EU, European Union, don't worry, we'll get to the US in a minute. The EU seeks a 15% cut in gas consumption. Okay, so energy drives the world. Without energy, we all die. All of human history is a story of people being cold and hungry. Energy helps us to do both. Energy helps to power machines. Machines can do the work of 5,000 people. Industrial Revolution, we had machines, and then it freed people up to do things like, science and medicine. And we need energy to do that. We need energy to run machines. We need energy to run manufacturing, to run factories. We also need energy to drive our food from the farm to the restaurant, to the grocery store, from your grocery store to your house. Amazon needs energy because it has to ship packages. They need energy to move packages around their facility. Do you get that? So in a world where they're trying to increase the gross domestic product, they're trying to get growth, they want to reduce the gas consumption by 15%. So if you reduce the amount of energy being used in the society, what do you think happens to the growth? Let me give you a hint. It goes down. Yeah, so think of this. So let me read this to you because it's pretty bad. Okay, a new sweeping plan, meaning it's not targeted, it's not pinpoint, it's not strategic to deal with certain thing. It's sweeping. We're going to just machine gun fire, just blast everything. Shotgun blast. Sweeping plan calls on member states to immediately and, quote unquote, voluntarily, slash gas consumption. A significant cut in gas consumption by 15% will require drastic action across industries. Drastic. That doesn't sound good. Drastic action across industries, meaning industries shut down, turn your lights down, stop running your machines. Yeah. It requires drastic action across industries, power producers, and even citizens in their households. Hey, you over there, you're using too much energy. You don't need that clothes dryer, do you? Can't you just hang your clothes in the backyard on a line? You don't need to watch TV, do you? Come on. Like, do you really need to use email? Can't you just mail a regular letter? Do you need lights? Could you just light some candles, right? Now, never mind the fact that we've known how to make electricity for over, 100 years. I could literally just start up a generator in my backyard. I could have electricity. Never mind the fact that we've known how to do this for 100 years. Never mind the fact that we've always had enough energy. It's never been a problem, never been a crisis, but all of a sudden we don't have enough? Or do they just want to cut it down? Because they want to cut it down by 15%. Let's continue. Initially, the cuts would be voluntary. However, they possess the power to impose mandatory restrictions. It says here, the European Union faces the risk of further gas supply cuts from Russia due to the Kremlin's weaponization of gas exports, it says. The Kremlin, they've weaponized their gas exports. Well, maybe when you made them the enemy by sanctioning everything they do, maybe they don't want to sell you gas. As a matter of fact, with sanctions, aren't you not supposed to buy the gas? It's kind of interesting. Now it says, taking action now, this is the part that had me chuckling here. Taking action now can reduce both the risk and the cost for Europe in case of further or full disruption. And I'm going to emphasize this part, strengthening European energy resilience. So let's see. So if we mandatorily shut off everybody's energy, shut down, as it says here, industry and manufacturing, if we do that, that strengthens our energy resilience? I don't understand that part. It seems like we're shutting everyone's energy off. Doesn't that make us weaker? And the part before that is that since they're afraid of getting cut off from Russia, then what we'll do is we'll just stop using it. So that way, if they shut it off, funny, because the joke's on you. We're not using it anymore. We just live in the Stone Ages and we don't heat our homes and we live by candlelight. Ha ha, joke's on you. Come on. If you want to strengthen your energy resilience, how about you get your own energy out of the ground? How about you don't depend on Russia? Now, that may sound crazy, but, you know, Europe has lots of natural gas in the ground as well. Not just the United States. You know, the United States became energy independent. The European Union could as well if they wanted to, but instead they would rather make themselves 100% dependent on Russia, and they would face the Kremlin's weaponization of gas exports. And in order to be more resilient, energy resilient, instead of getting their own gas, they'll just tell everyone to stop using it. I mean, can it get any more stupid than that? And again, I shouldn't ask that question because unfortunately I know the answer. And the answer is yes, it can. It can get more stupid than that. Putin's weaponization of energy. I don't have a clip ready, but I had recently shared a video on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, then you've seen it. And if you're on Twitter and you're not following me, then what are you even doing? You can check me out on Twitter just at one Mark Moss. That's the number one Mark Moss. And I shared this on Twitter, and it was a video of Trump over in Germany talking to NATO in 2018. And he said, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, Germany, like, you know, the U.S. is paying for all the security. We're paying for NATO. We're picking up the bill. And you guys aren't really paying for that. We're paying for that. But here you are shutting down all your own energy, and now you're buying it all from Russia, and you're becoming dependent on them. And it doesn't make any sense that we're paying to protect you from the country that you're giving billions, hundreds of billions of dollars to. And you're becoming dependent on them. This was in 2018. So where are we at today? Well, we gave them a bunch of money, and now they're completely dependent on them. And now they're worried about the weaponization of energy on the Kremlin. And so their answer is to just tell everyone to stop using it and just live in the cold and the darkness instead of getting their own energy out of the ground. That would be true energy resilience. But maybe I'm just too practical and rational, I guess. I don't know. What do you think? I'd love to hear it. Hit me up on social media at one Mark Moss. Let me know what you think. By the way, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralization of the world, what I call the decentralized revolution, talking about the way the world is swinging from centralization to decentralization. We're breaking it down through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And we're talking about some of this craziness. I got a lot more to go over when I get back, and it gets better or worse depending on which side you see on this. But either way, it's a lot more to go over when I come back, so don't go away.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We are talking about the decentralized revolution, the way the world is swinging from centralized to decentralized. Of course, looking at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. Of course, that technology is Bitcoin, a decentralized technology, giving us exactly what the world needs. Now, we're at peak centralization, and the world is swinging back the pendulum, and we're talking about how it's swinging back. I went through several stories with you before we went in, before we came back from the break. If you've missed it, don't worry. I got you covered. You can check it out on the Mark Moss podcast. Just search Mark Moss podcast or go to your favorite podcast player, iHeart Music, or iTunes or whatever, and you'll find me there. Now, another story here. Here's one that is another clown world. So in the United States, we have all these unappointed regulators. All these people who make a bunch of laws and regulations on us that we didn't vote for, they do all these things, and they're over all types of industries like energy secretary, or, you know, like transportation secretary. And what kinds of things would an energy secretary do? Well, you would think an energy secretary would be responsible for the energy policy of the United States. That would probably make sense. And so the Secretary of Energy in the United States is supposed to do that. And you would think she would know about the policies of the United States. But in a recent interview, I saw her asked about why the U.S. was getting rid of depleting all its strategic petroleum reserves. And they asked her about how many barrels of oil are being released from that and about how many barrels of oil are used in the United States in a day. Which would be a pretty basic question, I would think, for the Secretary of Energy. And she said she didn't know. Well, how can you drive energy policy, and especially one that she's pushing of a transition, when you don't even know how much energy we're using? The answer is you can't. Now, I'm not going to dig deep into that story because there's another story that's even more clown world that we can talk about. And this is the Transportation Secretary. I'm talking about good old Pete Buttigieg. I don't know if I said his last name right. Now, look, what does the Secretary of Transportation manage? I'll give you a hint, transportation. You know, planes, trains, and automobiles. Now, I just flew home yesterday from Phoenix, Arizona on a nonstop flight. I think it's like less than an hour flight. And, you know, it was delayed. I flew the week before and I flew to Vegas on a semi kind of private plane, and it's a 45-minute flight, and that flight was delayed too. As a matter of fact, I fly a lot, and I don't know if I can get any planes running on time anymore. Wouldn't the Secretary of Transportation try to figure out how to get the planes and the trains and the buses to run on time? Wouldn't they be concerned with things like gas prices, for example? Well, you would think so, but we have here clown world Pete Buttigieg, suggest that high gas prices, well, as a matter of fact, I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to let you hear a clip directly from him as he's being asked in a congressional hearing. So let's see. I got a clip. Rep. Tom Massey asked this question. Let's hear what he has to say, and then we'll talk about it here. Let's see. Here we go.
The average household uses 17% of their electricity for air conditioning. And that would mean the average household uses 1,870 kilowatt hours per year for air conditioning. if that average household plugged in electric cars, do you know how much more electricity they would use in comparison to the air conditioning that air conditions their whole house?
No, but again, I would emphasize it will be less.
Let me help you with that first before we go on, because the numbers are important. It would take four times as much electricity to charge the average household's cars as the average household uses on air conditioning. Do you think that could be? So if we reach the goal by 2030 that Biden has of 50% adoption instead of 100% adoption, that means the average household would use twice as much electricity charging one of their cars as they would use for all of the air conditioning that they use for the entire year.
Now, a couple things to pick out there. So first of all, the Biden administration in the European Union, pretty much every country, they have this mandate to get rid of internal combustion engine cars, ICE cars, and move everything to electric vehicles. I'm going to dig into this for you. Okay, stick with me here. But he asked, Thomas Massie asked the Secretary of Transportation, who's driving this policy, do you know how much that will increase homeowners' electricity bill by having to charge his electric vehicles? And he says, no. Wouldn't you think that would probably be one of the very first things that you would look at? So if they're concerned about you, the taxpayer, they're concerned about you and supposedly they're concerned about inflation and the prices you pay. Biden's going to get the gas prices down no matter what, right? Because he cares about how much you're paying. But then he's going to also mandate that you transfer to an EV vehicle and now you have to charge it. You have to buy electricity instead of gas. Would that save you money or would that cost you money? Wouldn't that be something that they should think of? And how would they determine that? Well, they would look at how much electricity it uses and how much more you'd have to spend. Be simple. But the Secretary of Energy doesn't even know. He hadn't even thought about that. And as it turns out, it's four times more. Now, can you afford your bills going up by four times more? Your electricity bill? I would imagine the answer is no. I certainly wouldn't want to see my electricity bills go up by four times more. Now, that's if we had one electric vehicle. In my household, we have three vehicles, three drivers. So that's at one vehicle. What happens to three vehicles? Is that a 12 times increase? I haven't done the math, but I'm not the Secretary of Transportation. Is that a 12 times increase? And if that's a 12 times increase and everybody adopts that, how do we have enough electricity to power that? Because in California, we can't even keep the electricity on in the state during the summertime. We don't have enough electricity. In Texas, just a few weeks ago, they didn't have enough electricity. So how do we have this EV vehicle transition that are going to need somewhere between four times or up to 12 times more power when we don't even have it? And more importantly, how do people pay for that? Well, let's listen to good old Secretary of Transportation. Let's see what he has to say about this.
Of course, the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles.
So the higher the price of gas, the more benefit there is. Did you know that there was a benefit? Did you know that when your gas prices go up and you can't afford to drive to go see your mother anymore, you can't afford to have those things delivered to you because the gas prices are up so high, when you can't afford to go to your job anymore because gas prices, did you know that's actually a benefit for you? Wow, that's what the Secretary of Transportation says. Well, I'm sorry. He didn't say it was a benefit for you. He said it was a benefit for those that have enough money to pay for an electric vehicle. Not for you, peasant. But if you can afford an $80,000 vehicle, then, oh, it's all good, right? Well, not really, because now my electricity bill goes up by four times. And this is the Secretary of Transportation. So the EU is cutting their energy by 15%. The Secretary of Transportation says that they want to drive prices up for you to drive, and that's a benefit, and your electricity prices are going to go up by 4 to 12 times. That's the world that we're living in. Now, I have more. Trust me, I got more. And this is just from this week. We're going to dive into Biden's executive orders. Now, executive orders are something that he warned us of that should never be used to govern. It's like a dictatorship. But never, don't mind that. You know, he's got a lot of them, and he's got some for us this week. We're going to dig into that and more in a minute. You're listening to The Mark Maugh Show, talking about the decentralized revolution, the way the world is swinging from centralization to decentralization. I got a lot more to come back in a second. Don't go away.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, the way the world is breaking apart, the way the world is changing, going from a centralized world to a decentralized world. And it's important to understand so you understand what the heck is going on today, but it's more important to understand so you know what comes next. How do we prepare? How do we plan? How do we get through it? And what comes next? And so those are the things that we talk about here. Now, I was playing some what I call clown world stuff. I mean, I can't believe these people are saying this out of their own mouths. I was playing some clips of Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. And he said that, no, I don't know how much EV vehicles will push prices up on people. And actually, gas high prices is a benefit to those that have enough money. You should write him or call his office and tell him what you think about that. Now, that might mean something. Now, let's talk about what else we got. Well, another good one here. And so I was on Fox Business last week. They had me on. And they had me on to talk about a story that the UN had put onto their website, on the UN website. And it basically said, hunger, why hunger is a good thing. Now, it was on the UN website for, I don't know, about half a day. And then it got so much backlash that I got taken down. But, you know, thanks to the internet, it's never really taken down. It's still there. So we have copies of it. And I went on to Fox Business to talk about this. But they literally wrote a piece of paper saying that it's a good thing for people to be hungry. Now, I bet those people that are hungry wouldn't agree with that. But they talked about how it says here, I'm going to read an excerpt. No one works harder than hungry people. Yes, people who are well-nourished have greater capacity for productive physical activity, but well-nourished people are far less willing to do the work. Wait, hang on. Let me read that again. Maybe I read that wrong here. Let's see. No one works harder than hungry people. Yes, the people who are well-nourished have a greater capacity for productive physical activity. Isn't that what we should want? Don't we want productive capacity and activity? That's what I think we'd want. And so we'd want people to be well-nourished. But it says, but the problem is well-nourished people are far less willing to do work people don't want. It says here, and you're going to love this. This is on the UN website. Okay, I'm reading directly from this. It says here, I can't believe they wrote this. Ending hunger globally would be a disaster. If there were no hunger in the world, who would plow the fields? I'm still here, but I don't know what they're thinking. So anyway, as you can imagine, that got massive backlash and it was taken down off of their website within a few hours. I went on to Fox News talking about it. Just search Mark Moss, Fox Business. You can find it. But think about that for a second. Now, let me explain something. I had to set that up so you can understand this next section I'm going to talk about. So per the UN, in 2019, they wrote an article that over 820 million people are suffering from hunger. That's in 2019. Now, because of what happened with the pandemic the handling of the pandemic, basically shutting the economy down and trying to turn it back on now by shutting down energy. So for example, as we already talked about, the natural gas issue in Europe, well, they need natural gas to make fertilizer, and fertilizer is used to make food. So if we don't have natural gas, we don't have fertilizer, we don't have food. That seems like a problem. Now, today, the United Nations is predicting almost 900 million people. Well, let's round it up. Almost a billion people could starve to death in the next 24 months. This is per the UN. Check it out on their website. So that sounds horrible to me. Now, I don't think anybody in the United States is probably going to starve to death. I think we're going to be okay in the United States. Now, when I say okay, it's a relative term. I don't think anyone's going to starve to death in the United States. But that's not good enough for me. I care about the rest of those people in the world. If there's going to be anybody starving to death, we should do everything in our power to get them more food, right? I don't care if it's one person or a billion people. We should try to get them more food, everything we can. Now, I remember when I was a kid, there used to be these commercials running on TV where it was like these starving kids in Africa, and if you donate just a little bit of money, you can feed a whole family kind of a thing. Yeah, we used to care about feeding them, but now the UN says it's actually a good thing and we need them to be hungry. Now, if you would imagine the UN, again, on their website, says that almost a billion people could starve to death. We should be getting them as much food as we can. But in Holland right now, they just shut down the farms. They told the farmers they can't grow food anymore. They told them that they can't raise cattle anymore. Don't we need more food? Now it turns out Holland is one of the major exporters of food to the rest of the world. Never mind those pesky people. Let's just kill a billion people. What about in the United States? Well, in the United States, the farmers went to another secretary, Secretary of Agriculture, and said, hey, let us plant more food on this part of our land. We can get more food to the world. And he said, no, it doesn't fit within our climate goals that we've pledged for the Paris Accord. So in Holland, they're shutting down the farms. They're shutting down their ability to grow food, raise cattle, at a time when almost a billion people will starve to death. Now, this is Marxism. Let's not mince words here. This is Marxism. It's neo-Marxism, it's cultural Marxism, whatever you want to call it. It's a takeover of the government. If you don't think it's Marxism, then you've never read the Communist Manifesto. Now, it's about a 45-minute read, so why don't you just stop, order that book off Amazon and read it, the Communist Manifesto, or better yet, you can read my new book called The Uncommunist Manifesto, where we kind of rebut it. But in the Communist Manifesto, there's 10 points that he lays out, 10 points. Point number 5 is the creation of a central bank. The next one is the creation of a progressive tax structure. I've been talking on the radio too long. So creation of a central bank and a progressive tax structure. Does the United States have that? Does Europe have that? Okay, so it's Marxism. Okay, glad we've established that. So Marxism, every time it's been tried, it's led to massive death. As a matter of fact, when it happened in Russia through the Bolshevik Revolution, about 25 million people died, starved to death. 25 million people. And if that wasn't bad enough, in Mao's quote-unquote great leap forward, 50 million people starved to death. And that's chump change. Those are rookie numbers. We're talking a billion people. And what is Marxism doing today? Let's go for a billion. Let's get those numbers up, people. Get those numbers up. We need more people to die. I mean, I constantly ask the question, is it stupidity or is it ignorance or is it evil? And when this many people are suffering from hunger, as the UN reports, why would you go shut down the capacity to grow food? Now, I know the answer. The answer is it's for the greater good, because in 100 years, the world could be 4 degrees hotter. And what would happen? Well, I'll tell you what could happen. 1 billion people could die like they are right now. Why don't we take care of those people today? Now, why do I bring that up? Well, because it's all effect of central planning. This is what happened when central planners get together and plan things, because they know better than you. Their plan for the greater good knows better, but they don't know better. They don't have enough information. Nobody can plan a world. Only God can plan the world. No one else, not us. We don't have enough data. We don't have enough input. We don't know what farmers do over there. And we certainly, heck, don't have a crystal ball to know what's going to happen 100 years from now in this world. So we take the problems that we have today. Yes, of course, we'd be good stewards if we have, but not at the sacrifice of 1 billion people. This isn't the Avengers, and this isn't Thanos. Thanos had to kill half the world to supposedly save half the world. I don't believe in that. Nobody else should either. That's the problem with central planning. That's why the pendulum is swinging back. Centralization is failing. We're moving into a decentralized world. That's why I have hope for the future. But unfortunately, we got more pain, death, and destruction in front of us because of these policies. But maybe you'll stand up. Maybe you'll say something. Maybe you'll write Pete Buttigieg and tell him what you think. I'd love to hear that. You can hit me up on social media at @onemarkmoss and let me know what you think. You've been listening to The Mark Moss Show talking about the decentralized revolution. That's what I got for you today. Thanks for listening.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.